Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, August the 6th, 2021, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 6, page 76, Into Action, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with, probably there are still some misgivings. And we'll be reading nine lines today, and it ends with, but this is not an end in itself. So again, we're going to be commenting on nine lines today, beginning on page 76. Today's readers are Laura R. for the 12 Steps, Jess S. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Jordan L., Nancy L., and Julie E.B. Our newcomer greeter today is Alice G. and Betsy H. for announcements. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, August 5th, 2021, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 17,494. That's 17494. And the share ID for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting this morning, Friday, August 6th, 2021, is 17,502. That's 17502. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Laura R. to read our 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Laura R., for your service. And now Jess S. will read our 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning. My name is Jess S. I'm a compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Jeff, for reading our 12 traditions today. Thank you, everyone, for being of service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So please don't use your mute button on your phone, but press star 1 to mute and to unmute. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're in Chapter 6, Into Action, on the fourth paragraph, beginning with, probably there are still some misgivings. We're reading 9 lines today, and it ends with, but this is not an end in itself. So I'm going to ask Jordan L. to please begin reading. Good morning, Jordan. Star 1 to unmute, Jordan L.
Hey, good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. Thank you for moderating for us, Sherry. probably there are some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. this is kind of one of the times the Big Book, it takes a little step back here and it says, like, it makes it real clear what it is that we're trying to do here, right? Put our lives in order. And it's important. My experience with long-term sobriety or long-term abstinence is that abstinence in and of itself is not an end. It's a means, right? And like the end is this, is to start putting my life in order, really, so that I have something to stay abstinent for, you know? It doesn't always look the way that I think it should look, and that's okay. It's all good, you know? But I'm meant to be in relation with other people. And step nine is how it is that I, it's my pathway to that, you know, it's my pathway to relations with other people. And in my case, what was particularly emphasized in step nine and still is today, right? Because I make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. And I'm quick, I'm pretty quick to admit where I'm wrong these days too. I've gotten much better at that. I was not very good at that. And I've gotten much better. but really what it's about is humility and taking my place in this world, right? Playing my part, the part that God assigned, not the one that I think I should have. and step nine is it's this really clear path to that. And I'll be real. Most of my amends, I don't mention the program. I don't mention, like, I'm doing this in order to stay abstinent or sober or whatever. Because it kind of makes it seem like it's a twisted motive, you know? Like, I really try to go to people in a spirit of, and I don't mention, you know, like, this is about me getting right with God. Like, I really try to go to them in a spirit of, like, I regret this action, you know, and I want to make it right. And it doesn't, like, twist up that motive at all, you know? And there's really a chance for that relationship to be healed if that's what both parties want, and that's, you know, that's, like, God's will for it. So it's good stuff. This is good stuff. It really, it starts me out on a really worthwhile path that I get to travel and continue to in 10, 11, and 12. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L., for getting us started. So again, just reminding everybody, we're in Chapter 6, End Action. We're on page 76. We're on paragraph 4. We're going to comment on the first 9 lines, beginning with, probably there are still some misgivings, ending with, but this is not an end in itself. And before I take names of people that like to share, I just want to remind everybody, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So that means that if you've shared on any of the meetings that we have, we ask that you step back and let others share. Thank you so much for your cooperation. So who would like to share on this comment? I mean, on these lines?
Rachel R.
Julie E.B.
Julie?
Jody E.
Christina J.
I'm sorry, just a minute. I think I heard Jody.
Yes, Jody E.
Jody E?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, some other names got jumbled after Jody E.
Crystal? Yep.
And the last Christina. Initial of your, first S. initial of your last, S as in Sam?
S. Correct.
Great. And I think I heard Christina J.
You did.
All righty. And I'll take one more.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. All right. Good lineup, folks. All right. So, Rachel R., you're up, and please let us know where you're from. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi, good morning. This is Rachel from California. And, yeah, this is my first time sharing on the meeting, so thank you. Yeah, when I'm reading this, these 9 lines here, I could say I definitely had some misgivings as I looked over my list of, you know, acquaintances and friends that I may have hurt. Some of them I just felt like I don't owe an amends to them. Others I could see, like, this is a great opportunity to make amends that I might have been wanting to make. And I agree with this, like, some people may not need to know the spiritual feature on my approach, because it may just not be. I think one of the things I had pointed out to me was, like, the amends, I can't remember the exact wording, was, you know, it's appropriate, like, for me to do, or safe, you know, not harmful. And someone pointed out that it can't be harmful to me either, you know, making amends to someone else that it might be harmful to me in such a way, like where it's like emotional abuse or physical abuse or something like that. Like, I don't need to necessarily approach that person and make amends. A letter, you know, that I don't send or something else might be more appropriate. So I don't reintroduce myself into an unhealthy or unsafe situation. But I don't know that some people need to know my personal intimate business in terms of what I'm up to with my program. However, I still may need to make amends to them that because, you know, A, it's, you know, probably what should be done, the quote unquote right thing to do, but also it's part of the program and it's that opportunity to clean my side of the street. And I think that this is very valuable 9 lines. I love that we break these things up to such, you know, specific things to look at. It really gives us a great approach to really dig deep, dive deep into the big book. And this really is the textbook for recovery. So I think that's everything I have on this, but thank you for letting me share on this part of the chapter into action. These action steps are so key and so essential. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Rachel R. And I just want to give the lineup. We're going to have Julie E.B., Jody E., Crystal S., Christina J., and Kathleen O. And please let us know where you're from. Good morning, Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovering in Colorado Springs. And I just want to say that the amends process, I thought they were going to be so hard. And just gritting my teeth, and everywhere I go, I found that my higher power had gone ahead of me. And some of you have heard me say this before, but I had, you know, shop clerks that said, you know, oh yeah, my dad's in that, or people that said, oh yeah, I've been in program for 26 years. I had another person who said, I just wish that my brother should start crying. I just wish my brother could get to this step. And she's quite young. So, you know, I felt my higher power had gone ahead of me. However, I also felt a lot of enthusiasm for my higher power, who I understand is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding steadfast love. I was feeling that for myself the first time, and I was looking at the world a whole new way. And I think if I had approached people with that spiritual enthusiasm, one of the reasons I see the warning, I see this warning kind of going in line with the warning against evangelism and zealotry, because if I had gone to people and gone, hey, yeah, I got this God thing now, and, you know, I'm sorry I was really hard to work with and raging and hurtful, but I got this God thing now and it's all going to be okay, that would not have accomplished the purpose it needed to. And I would have put them off the what they could see in the actual change in my behavior in the months and years to come. So that's what I want to share. And I love talking with people about amends they're considering making. So feel free to reach out. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you, Julie E.B. in Colorado. And Jody E., from California, you're up, followed by Crystal S. And when you do, Crystal, let us know where you're from. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovering from compulsive overeating, anorexia, and bulimia in California. So we've got a lot of paragraphs and pages coming up here on step 9. I'm going to try to drill down on these 9 lines. So misgivings, I may have some apprehension about going to these people, and I may feel diffident. What is diffident? Diffidence is lacking confidence, timid or shy, about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Some people, let us be reassured, to some people we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature. On our first approach, we might prejudice them. So we're already thinking about, we're trying to get our own lives in order here, but not for our own sake alone. we're already thinking about helping maybe even these very people we're making amends to sometime in the future. So we don't want to prejudice them against us and our message by claiming that we are reborn or we have, I don't know, found God or had a spiritual awakening. We don't have to emphasize that with all of them. Maybe some of them would appreciate that, but not necessarily all of them. So I might say something like, I've been doing some introspective work lately, and I've had some awareness that I didn't have before, and I'd like to speak with you because I feel that I may have harmed you, and I'd like to talk to you about that. I don't have to say that I'm working a 12-step program necessarily, or that I've gone religious, because I might prejudice them, and I don't want to prejudice them against me or against my potential message to them in the future. I need to put my own life in order, but not for myself alone, as is repeated over and over again in this book. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Jody E. from California. And Crystal S., you're up, followed by Christina J. Can you tell us where you're from, Crystal?
Yes. Hi, I'm from California.
Thank you, Crystal. Go ahead, please.
Sure, of course. Thank you. My name is Crystal, and this is my first time to share on this meeting, and I'm so grateful to be here. I just wanted to echo so many things have already been said, and I was thinking so much about amends I've made in the past in another program, and I was thinking about these nine lines and about how my negative behavior and how it affected others when I was in my disease required a lot of work prior to being in front of someone to make amends. And I just was thinking about how vital sponsorship is and the humility that comes for me, and the timing is based around working with a sponsor, but more importantly, prayer and meditation. I have in the past not been clear about my motive for making an amends, and so I really appreciate the steps prior to, but more importantly, having a sponsor say, whoa, hang on, sweetie, just relax. And so that's all I really had to share, and I'm just really claiming my seat here as well. So thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Crystal S. from California. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you for your service this morning, everybody on the line. I echo all the shares. I thought, what can I share on this? But the truth be told, if I look back at my first time of going out at these in my unrecovered emotional and spiritual state, I see that I was still doing it for me. Yeah, I was going to go out and get validation because that was my big wound, you know, my whole life going for validation from everybody and everything. And the teenager in me, the little girl, the young woman said, hey, this is another way to get validation. I didn't know that, but as I look back, one of the first amends I did was this woman had rejected me where we lived and completely cut me off after years of being friends, just flat out, sharp knife down the middle, it was over. And boy, I was going to make an amends to her, you know, and I wrote emails, I called, I wrote a big letter finally and had it sent, so she had to sign for it so I could make sure I knew she got it. I had dreams about her hugging me and saying it was all okay. I mean, I was completely obsessed with getting this validation from her. And as we know now, we don't do that. We clean up our side of the street, and if they respond, great. If they don't, that's that. That's that. I can't control her or how she's going to respond. So that was my big lesson there. And I never took God with it. I never said anything about me being in a program or... Well, I actually did say I was in recovery from overeating and, you know, messed up in my mind, but I never spoke about God or anything to any of my amends. And as the years went on, they got better, and I had ones that I had no idea what to do about, and God revealed it to me. Sometimes it takes a while to get these all done. Sometimes the answers don't come. I had stolen, this is so shameful, but God revealed this to me after years. I had stolen a doctor's ring when I was a young woman. And I sat in my chair years and years and years later and said, oh my God, it came to my mind. After 20 years, I had never thought about it. And how am I going to find these people? And they can put me in jail. And I tried to find them. I tried to find for years. I tried to find them, and I couldn't. A couple years, not many, many years. But finally, God led me what to do. And it was a beautiful amends that's still going on today, and I won't go into it. But God will lead us if we're stuck. We don't have to try to rush some of these. This is really important. But as this paragraph says, we're trying to put our lives in order. So we want to get as many done as we can, because this is going to be the door that opens the spiritual recovery to that sunlight of the spirit. What am I going to do hanging on to these? I mean, that's what drove me to the food, all this pile up of these things that I had done that I wasn't even really aware of, like stealing that ring. What was making me eat besides the allergy? Uncomfortableness deep in my soul. See, the soul won't let you live with all that shit floating around in there. It has to be cleansed.
Time?
Thank you. I want to be cleansed before I die, and I know that you all do too. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And before we hear from Kathleen O. in California, just want to remind everybody we're on page 76. We're at the fourth paragraph. We're commenting on nine lines only today, beginning with probably there are still some misgivings and ending with but this is not an end in itself. And Kathleen O., please go ahead. Good morning, Kathleen O.
Good morning, Sherry KB. This is Kathleen O., recover compulsive overeater in Northern California, and it's like an apocalypse out there. Very bad air quality here in California. So good to be on the line with everyone. I wanted freedom from using food to feel better, and I wanted freedom from the chatter in my head. So I had to ask myself, how free do I want to be? Because being human, I go to fear and I go to my character defects. When we have faith, we get aligned with God's will. And God's will is that I'm patient, loving, kind, and tolerant. It's that I'm useful to others around me. You know, God's will is not that I criticize or judge others or that I speak poorly of them. And it's easy to go there for me. So what harms had I done to others? As we look over the list, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. The purpose is to make amends, except when to do so would injure them or others, and is to acknowledge the harms I've caused others and make it right. It isn't about telling others about my spiritual experience. And I think that's good directions because, you know, the directions tell us we probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature. If I get stuck on emphasizing the spiritual part, I can make the person think I'm just crossing things off a list. And that sort of happened to me with one of my amends. And the person didn't even want to talk to me. I had left a message saying I wanted to talk to her. I left a phone message. And, you know, I followed it up with a letter, but it was talking about me being in this 12-step program. And so I'm assuming that for this person, it might have been helpful to leave that part out. And I'll never really know because she never even acknowledged me reaching out to her. So, you know, it isn't just about saying I'm sorry to people I've harmed either, especially when I've done that over and over in the past. And I think once I've made the initial amends, it isn't even helpful to keep apologizing if I repeat the behavior. You know, what matters is that I stay focused on changing my behaviors and being useful to them. So moving forward, my actions are going to speak louder than my words. I no longer need to tell people what to do, how they should act, or what they should say. As tempting as that may be, it happens almost every day. I just need to be mindful not to step on toes. And in the end, I go to bed feeling really good, and I haven't, you know, ticked anybody off. You know, my life used to be about what my wants and needs were, and now I do my best to focus on what others' wants and needs are. So making amends is sometimes a hard pill to swallow, but it truly is good for the soul. And, you know, I needed to make things right and stop repeating the behaviors. So in order to heal and be free, I must follow this sometimes difficult step. But this spiritual principle is about forgiveness with others, and it's also about forgiving myself. And that's where the healing happens. And thank you, Sherry KB. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. in California. So I'm going to take some more names and just reminding you we're on page 76, fourth paragraph, the nine lines. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order to that others may share their experience too. So that means if you shared last couple of days, we'd ask that you step back and let others share. Who would like to share on this morning? The water's warm.
Doug from Southern California.
Doug, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
S, as in Sam.
Thank you, Doug. Who else would like to share?
Jerry from Texas.
Jerry?
Jerry, yes.
Carrie.
Jerry.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Jerry, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
H.
And where are you from, please?
Texas? Yes.
Great. Thanks, Jerry H. And who else would like to share this morning? The water's warm. Come on in. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Anyone else?
Cynthia C.
Okay, I heard Cynthia. And Cynthia, what's the first initial of your last name, please?
C.
C. And where are you from, Cynthia?
Newton, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, thank you. And somebody was right behind Cynthia. Who was right behind Cynthia? Okay.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, there are two people that came in at once. Please say it again.
This is Joan R. from Oregon.
Joan R. Okay, and where are you from, Joan?
Oregon.
Okay. And I can take two more.
Sherry H.
A pile up here. Repeat, please.
Sherry H.M.
Terry H.M.
Yes, Terry.
And where are you from, Terry?
Sherry H.M., not Terry, from Washington.
Thank you, Sherry. All right, and one more.
Michelle O.
Michelle O. And where are you from, Michelle O?
Michigan.
Thank you. All right, so let's get going here. Doug S. from California, you're up, followed by Jerry H. from Texas. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. This is Doug S. from Southern California. Boy, yes, I certainly did have some misgivings about the process. One amends involved a coworker, and most people, if they looked at the relationship, they'd say, oh, well, I don't know why Doug was treated that way. But as I began to make the amends, and it caused a lot of resentment on my part, and I began to realize, God helped me realize, what my part in the whole process had been, so that as I did this amends, I was able to have no thought whatsoever on how I thought I had been treated, but rather I could focus on what my actions and my character defects had been that had precipitated whatever happened. So that was very revealing. And in the other situation, my sponsor is a get-it-done kind of a guy, and I had a couple of people on the list, things that I had regret over and so forth, but I felt there was no way to get in touch with these people. He says, just write the amends. And these two particular amends, one went way, way back, many, many, many years back in my life. But I wrote it as if I was actually going to be having an opportunity to talk with that person and then with another person. And it was amazing to me how it facilitated my facing myself and my ego and where I had gone wrong, and it revealed my character defect. So even though I could never really read it to the person, I had no way of finding them anymore, nevertheless, it was a very healing, restorative, releasing process for me. So I'm very grateful for this step in the big book and for following the directions, and it works. It really does. So thank you, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Doug S. in California. Jerry H. from Texas, you're up, followed by Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. Good morning, Jerry.
Hi, this is Jerry H. I'm from Texas, and I am a chronic relapser, and so I have to honestly say I'm on step two right now, but listening to what people are sharing, it gives me hope, and it helps clarify as I move through the steps that I still have hope that I can put order in my life, and that when I get to step nine, as we continue, it is not an end in itself. It is a learning process, and I trust that I will be guided to understand what I'm supposed to say and who I'm supposed to say it to. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry H. from Texas. Cynthia C. from Massachusetts, you're up, followed by Joan R. from Oregon. Good morning, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, moderator, and thank you for everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm incredibly grateful to be here today. I came on very late, just as you were collecting names, so I'm assuming we're talking about step nine. It's always a good topic. Always a good topic. So when I came into program 4.5 years ago, I worked the steps very, you know, as quickly as I could, and I did do amends. I made amends to my family members. Some I did in person, and others, like my mother, who had very advanced Alzheimer's, I read to my sponsor. My mother passed away in February, and the process of it was COVID. The process of the funeral and the Zoom memorial service was very hard and very painful because I'm the only one in recovery in my family, and I have a sister who has some serious mental health challenges, and she takes a lot of it out on me. And I did do an amends. Like, so I think I had in my head when I did my ninth step amends that everything would be all, you know, like everything would be cheery. And like, how does my daughter said that if things are going to be like rainbows and unicorns, you know, and it's not with a sister. It's not. I mean, things have improved, but she wants something from me that I can't give. And I don't feel safe giving to her because she's not a safe person for me. And she was pretty awful to me around the funeral. And the fact is that, you know, it wasn't like she was trying to be awful to me. She's in pain, you know. And I think with learning to do amends, this whole step process has given me a larger sense of compassion for myself and my family members. And we had the unveiling of my mother's gravestone on Sunday and family in town. And, you know, I feel laden with guilt. I did my ninth step amends, and there's a part of me that feels like, okay, I did that, so I shouldn't be feeling this anymore. And I think that's like the lie in my head, that when you do amends, everything is rainbows and unicorns. And the big book never says that, you know? I keep, you know, and I'm doing 10 steps on her, and I'm doing 10 steps on my family, and I'm doing my 11-step prayer and meditation each day, and I'm working the steps. And I guess as I'm processing and I'm saying this to you, it's just that reminder that my higher power is providing for all my needs. My higher power is taking care of me. My higher power will protect me this weekend. You know, there's limited damage the sister can do to me in the short period of time that we're together. And I don't have to, you know, and the amends, I guess, maybe that I make to myself and to my family is I don't have to be someone else. I can show up. That living amends might be just showing up and being me. I don't have to read something I don't want to read. I don't have to pretend to be something I'm not. You know, and if I want to show up at this, it's very informal and I don't want to read. Hi. I don't want to do something. Thank you. I just am so grateful for recovery and learning every day from you all. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. And Joan R., you're from Oregon, you're up, followed by Sherry H.M. from Washington. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning.
This is Joan R. from Oregon, and I am a recovering here. I'm so grateful for this meeting this morning and for the opportunity to say right now what has so much touched me in the sharings this morning, you know, to put my life in order, how much I get myself from following good orderly directions, and how my day my life is changed daily by this connection with my higher power, and that humility is the necessary ingredient in this recipe for healing, and the ego puncturing is not something that I've been welcoming. For most of my life, I've suffered from mental illness, and the 12 steps have helped me tremendously. But the making amends is still, you know, I still have, you know, the misgiving. And have hope that there is learning this better way from my fellows, from my higher power, to really do it in a much more like authentic way, like this, for just showing up. And you know, I don't like making mistakes. It's, you know, but really is so difficult for me to accept, and this program of recovery is teaching me over and over again acceptance, and that God will lead us, and I believe that. And I love what Crystal said about, or Christina said about, the uncomfortableness in my soul, and that's what this ninth step I'm working on is I'm experiencing, and what deep healing the higher power is offering me and my family members that are wounded. So, with that, I'll pass, and thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Joan R. from Oregon. Sherry H.M. From Washington, you're followed by Michelle O. from Massachusetts. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Sherry H.M., recovered compulsive eater, overeater, and sugar addict in Washington State. I'm so grateful for this. To me, the highlight of this is actually on page 77, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And in American culture, and how I lived a bit before program was, you know, it's about me, and it's about, okay, what can I get for myself? Buy more and better stuff, rise up on the career ladder, so on and so forth. But yet, that is not, you know, what it's all about. And to get rid of the freds, the fear, resentment, ego, and dishonesty, it's really about our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be in maximum service of God and the people about us. I need to get that tattooed onto my forehead or something to remember that. But that's really what it's about. And I love, it's just tacked on to the next paragraph, but I feel it's the end of this. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. I just couldn't do this without the Lord and without all you people. I'm so grateful, and I'm especially grateful to one of our fellows who kept off 500 pounds for, I don't know, 21 years and does that Saturday morning Zoom Big Book study. So thank you all so much. And I couldn't do this without you guys. So anyway, and thanks for your service. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. from Washington. And Michelle O., I think you're from Maine. You're going to be our last speaker.
From Detroit, here. Michigan, actually.
Michigan.
Hi.
Oops. Yes. Sorry about that, Michelle O.
That's okay. This
Thank
is
you.
Michelle
Go ahead,
O.
please. Good morning.
Compulsive overeater, bulimic. I just felt the need to connect with you all today by sharing. I'm not someone who's in recovery, and I haven't done much work on the ninth step. I did at one point get to that stage, and I have to tell you, I really do idealize it, or I hold it in high regard as something that I believe has a lot of healing power and something I really look forward to. And I have not maintained abstinence in order to get to this point in my recovery. And I had a lot of opinions about, you know, doing the steps a different way from what I was taught. And so I actually did, with one sponsor, get to step 9, even though I wasn't abstinent. And I hope that that would help me. And I can't say it was harmful, but it didn't have, you know, the desired effect or whatever to truly make amends and to truly be free, because I wasn't at that stage. But a recent experience that I have that was called to mind by this is probably there are still some misgivings. I have a friendship that's really not a friendship anymore, and I found out that this person wasn't going to be coming to my wedding. And she notified me in a very passive way, and I decided to pick up the phone and have a conversation and find out if she didn't want to come or if there's something we could do to repair it. And it was very scary. I knew I wanted to do this, and I had to overcome those misgivings. And I did experience a great measure of freedom from having an honest conversation. Not the same as giving amends, but it was an example of my fear trying to block me, but I knew, you know, what my higher power would have me do was to have courage and to have that conversation. So that was just one small example of what I think that this could be at a much greater level when and if I get to step 9. And I just want to thank you all, you know, for being beacons of recovery. I don't have as strong of a connection with my higher power as I want, and your connection, you know, I feel it, I believe in it, and thank you for pulling me along. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Michelle O. from Michigan. And we do have time for one more share. Who would like to share? Who has a burning desire to take us out today?
Wendy PB.
Wendy PB. And where are you from, Wendy?
Chicago.
All right. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Thank you. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And boy, this is such a timely topic for me. I have made all my amends, and I have a family member, a brother, who did not accept my amends. And then I got a new resentment, of course. So then I've had to work on that resentment. And what I learned about that was that I'm. It's a lot easier for me to feel resentment than it is for me to just feel hurt. And what's really going on is that I'm just hurt. I miss the fact that this brother and I can't have a relationship right now. He is very affected by his own disease and by how the family disease of alcoholism affected him, I believe. And, you know, I have to constantly remind myself of the sick man's prayer. But the reality is God is slowly, bit by bit, changing my heart. And where there was resentment, it's melting into compassion. You know, I have a work colleague that I sent a letter of amends to, and she didn't respond to it either. And, you know, with that one, I was able to just say, well, you know, I've done my part. That's all I can do. Time to move on. But, you know, because it's a family member and what was a close family member, this one's a lot harder. And, you know, I believe in the process. The process works. And, every time I feel that regret and that pain, that's a good reminder for me to remember why I don't want to behave that way anymore, because that blocks me from God. That pain, that resentment, that's going to block me from God, from the sunlight of the Spirit, and from being useful to Him and to others. So hearing all of you share in this today and hearing the reading today was just so helpful for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Have a lovely day, everyone.
Thank you, Wendy PB from Illinois. Well, that's about all the time we have today. It's been a wonderful meeting this morning and all your shares. Thank you so much. I want to take the time to thank Team Friday, Laura R., Jess S., Jordan L., Nancy L., Julie E.B., Alice G., and Betsy H., and the person that was on the dashboard. Thank you so much. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Nancy?
Yes. Thank you very much. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until